I have to listen to it too.
No, I have pretty good pitch. I can pick up.
That's it's at the end of the chorus, right? Hey now, you know, so hey now, you're a rock star, and then I want get paid. All that glitters is banned.
Now we got our seekers in its place.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Common Ground Podcast. This is episode 24? Yeah, we'll go up 24, 25, somewhere in there. But yeah, I promise it's one of those two. I am your host, Cameron Schindler, joined as always with Thomas Gunn. What's up?
What's up? What's up? How we doing?
We doing all right. Unapplied for an apartment today because their parking policy. I remember telling Hippo about this.
Oh.
I'll introduce my other co-host first. Hippo James Hieronymus.
That's me. Yay. Hola, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
You ready for this parking policy?
Go. I heard about it, but go ahead and tell Gunn about it.
$50 a month to park there.
Okay.
And if I want, and this isn't Hermitage, just not downtown Nashville.
This is right over by Drew's place.
Yeah.
Huh.
And if I have friends over, they have to pay like $3 an hour to park.
Okay,
nobody's
that's crap.
Ever going to want to come over.
That is awful.
Could you imagine like...
That's a terrible policy.
Yeah,
I can understand like a small monthly charge if that's like really your policy, but like charging people to park. And also like out not downtown charging.
It's ironic because they charge you to... Yeah, it's not downtown Nashville. They charge you to park, but they also hire a third party service that goes around and boots
and
cars.
Monitors everyone.
Yeah, they boot cars and people like are complaining that their cars get booted and stuff and their permit's showing. So they get wrongfully booted. And I just read a bunch of bad reviews. I had a lot of likes like that after I applied and I'm like, I don't want to live here anymore.
Yep. Nope. That's reasonable. Did you tell them that that's why?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Hopefully they'll take that into consideration.
Disgusting. I have a fact about you, Hippo.
About me?
Yeah, I found a funny hippo fact. It's a funny hippo fact because it's not even a fact. It just says, hippo versus lion, who wins? ? In a one-to-one face-off, a hippo could end the lion's life in a couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Lions do, however, manage to kill a hippo by attacking it as an entire pride of several individuals. This is rare, as even the lion knows the risk involved.
It's true.
And won't go after a hippo.
It's true.
It's just such, it's like the least fact ever.
That's kind of a fact. That's close enough.
It's like a hippo versus 1 million ants. Who would win? But the people aren't here to talk about ants versus hippos.
Versus lions.
They're here to talk about glitters getting banned.
Hold on.
Oh!
Whoa!
Oh!
You actually ripped a glitters in half.
Oh, do you have two?
Oh my god, he's gonna do it again. Oh god. Oh! Alright, well, while James creates some ASMR for... Oh, there's the fourth. Alright, that's it. They're gone.
And then he can sprinkle them like glitter. Glitter is in the sky. He just threw him in the air like glitter.
Incredible.
Glitter's got banned.
That was my special.
Which wasn't even going to be our main topic today, but now it's definitely part of what we're talking about.
So we had a whole ban announcement on May 13th of 2024. Mm-hmm. Only card that was banned was All That Glitters. Nothing unbanned. But I guess I shouldn't say only card because
correct.
They also made an announcement that co-assigns with Vintage, Legacy, Popper, and I think Canadian Highlanders following along with it too for those who play that. Any stickers or attraction cards are also now banned.
Thank God.
Did you read the reasoning on that? I didn't really go in depth on that part.
It's a logistical nightmare.
Is it just like not...
It's a logistical nightmare to having to... It takes so much time to explain. Like, as someone who like off and on plays Legacy, like somebody would have to explain to me what an attraction is. Yeah. I have no clue.
Me too. I have no idea.
Or how stickers work. I legitimately don't know.
Me neither.
So the time that it would save to explaining what they do is good.
It was just, I think it's a big mistake of a mechanic. A big mistake just to make them black bordered, really.
Right, to make them legal for other constructed formats in the first place.
I think like that kind of stuff is like better off just silver bordered, because I remember having fun with the previous unset and just they kind of got greedy and wanted people to buy it more, and it flopped really, really hard. Also, I heard a reason was because if you have, like, a clone and you copy somebody's Mind Goblin, you don't have your own sticker sheet.
Oh, weird.
So, then it's just its own problem. But I think that's the lesser, the two announcements we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. If,
as always, whenever there's a ban or any change to the Pauper format, Gavin Verhey writes us, specifically us, a very
to the three of us,
a very nice long article that just Ed posts a video explaining why they did what they did. Do you have anything? I have some notes.
Some notes, like some thoughts.
Some thoughts. I want to hear your voice.
Sure. I mean, I think I agree with their decision making. I think they said in the which is, I'm sure, something we'll cover if we're going through Gavin's little article here, is that they had mentioned in the article when Swiss Spear got banned that All That Glitters is a card that they were keeping their eye on, like between All That Glitters, Artifact Lands, as always, like things like that. And so this is kind of not surprising. If you were looking through Kriblinski's challenge metagame data alongside us as we were going through the challenges the last few weeks, like Glitters has had very good win rates. It's put up top finishes across many, many challenges. It's one of those cards that just whoops, I win. And I feel like as much as I have made an argument in the past for cards that like have an oops, I win effect to them, that it just means that you have to be more careful and more strategic about how you navigate spots and making sure you're keeping up interaction in certain spots and not just like trying to hope they don't have it, because then they'll have it and they'll win the game. As much as I've been on the side of like letting that happen, because I think it increases the amount of like interaction and counterplay that goes on, I am certainly not upset that it's gone as well, because I also understand that it is a super feel bad in a lot of spots. And is a really powerful card. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm pro ban. I don't really have strong feelings either way. It was a very powerful card, and off it goes, and we'll see how the meta shakes out.
I feel like it got banned when it was starting to kind of like heighten down a little bit. Maybe that's just my perspective on it, which could be totally wrong. I feel like we haven't seen it dominate the top 8 challenges.
No, but it does put that ever, like as Thomas mentioned, it does put that like blanket on the format where you're like, you can't tap out, like you just die.
Yeah, that
like,
was,
and they don't want that to be the case. I know there's someone in our local community who thinks that they hate Affinity, but that wasn't even the deck that got it banned. It was the Boros deck. The Boros deck got it banned.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, Wizards quote hates Affinity. No, they don't hate Affinity. They're actually trying to keep it around and make it a deck consistently by not banning the Artifact Lands.
Yeah, and that's something.
Like, that's the biggest
about.
Thing. They're not banning the Artifact Lands for the sole purpose of keeping that a part of the identity of the format.
I want to touch on what you said, too, with the it makes it really hard to tap out against a deck. That's something Gavin mentioned in his article, and I mentioned the first time we talked about Glitters on the podcast, or when we're talking about debating on banning it, I was kind of like, well, that one time I was playing Gardens versus you, I got in that spot where it's like, the one time I tapped out every time is the turn I died. And that was extremely, extremely frustrating, because it puts you in a position where it's like, I can't develop my own board, because I have to sit there at this lightning bolt, because once they put that Glitters on there, my lightning bolt, my galvanic blast, or even two of my galvanic blasts isn't enough to kill it anymore. So, like, it's just thunder! That was a bad thunder. Thunder!
Thunderstruck.
Okay, sorry, that was too loud not to get our attention.
That was a good one.
Where's it going with that?
Holding up interaction all the time.
Yeah. So it's just not. It's very frustrating when it's like, this is okay. I played around it like 5 turns in a row. I'm finally going to like develop my board or something. It's like, ha, you're dead. Hippo, you said something about like banning the Affinity Lands too. Not that you're in favor.
Oh, no. The idea is to keep the Artifact Lands as a kind of a Pauper staple. Like, that's part of the identity of the format. It's part of what makes the format the format that it is.
And they've
mentioned it. They like they've said previously, they're like, we've looked at the bridges, because they're, you know, they're indestructible or whatever. You know, they just are trying to they're trying to band-aid the situation of having Artifact Lands. I get that's the idea. But I am in favor of having the Artifact Lands around. I think they I can say they've been a part of the, or they are the format. Like, that's been the part of the format forever. And I don't want that to go away.
And they did mention that they tried, like, they tested, they as in the...
the popper format panel.
Yep, thank you. PFP. PFP, the popper format panel. They mentioned testing out just banning the bridges and playtesting and building decks like that. And they're like, it didn't really matter. You know, they just played some other tap lands and fixing. And yeah, it was a couple less artifacts, but like you still have that spew of 8 novice inspectors or 3-man inspectors that just go to the artifact count. You have the original ones. And they mentioned that they didn't want to ban the original Mirrodin lands because it has so much of a format defining presence, almost like banning Brainstorm and Legacy.
Yeah, there's some things that I think this one actually might be a little closer than that one. There is the like understood rule that they'll never ban Brainstorm, though it's the best card in the format, like by a lot. I don't know that this is necessarily the same case here. Like, those aren't necessarily the most powerful things that you can do, but those are an engine for a lot of different powerful things that you can do now. I mean, yeah, we don't have like a Glitters necessarily now to take advantage of them with. This, the best you can do at this rate is just like spam out like Mirror Enforcers. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that impressed by you powering out like a turn 2 or 3 Mirror Enforcers, a 4/4.
Oh, I'll power out 2 Terrors.
Yeah. Terror is a better card. So I don't think it's not that Wizards hates Affinity. It's just, they think they would like to keep the Affinity lands intact without having to, or that's full stop. They just want to keep the artifact lands intact. It's part of the format.
No, that makes sense. And like that Boros deck was a machine, because I've talked about previous episodes how it like bridges this gap between aggressive and grindy, because it can kill you out of nowhere while it can also outgrind you too, like with those Synthesizer and Glenhawk packages.
Yeah, it just took a matter of time for attaching good deck like that already existed with busted card, and therefore voila, you have busted deck entirely.
Oh, one last little point on all that Glitters. Kind of, remember when, like, Monstrous Whisperer got banned? They're kind of just talking about how, like, Cyborgs just became, like, 8 blast effects and life gain spells. It's, like, kind of similar to, like, the Affinity deck when it's popular. It's like, okay, 4 Dust to Dust, 4 Cast in the Fires, you know? It's just, you pack in all this artifact hate, and it's only, while it's an aggressive deck, the artifact hate isn't good against the mono-red deck, too. So it's, like, the 2 aggressive decks take different sideboard cards needed.
Sure.
And Gavin mentioned that article, and I thought that was a well thought out point.
Yeah, they take their time with these decisions.
Oh,
I don't think they're just making them at on a whim.
No, that's why it's happened now. Yeah. People have been crying about it for a minute.
Yeah.
But I don't think the format was falling apart. It's still been, we've seen it very diverse and healthy, but I think this was an appropriate ban just because of that strain it put on the format that we discussed.
I will say it's one little interesting side nerf is this is a little bit of a blow to the Hexproof deck, to Boggles. They lose their second like Ethereal Armor type effect. I don't think that's as big a factor as it will be to the decks that just spring up around Glitters themselves, but just, you know, something to think about. Pour one out for the Boggles players.
Yeah,
they'll still play.
Yeah, I mean, like,
they'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't think you can regret it with that in mind, like saying that the two decks that lose it are being like Boros, like reasonable decks that lose it are like Borosynth and Boggles. They can recover from it. And I think a deck like Blue White, I don't know that deck can recover from
that. Yeah, I don't think that deck exists.
Yeah, I don't think it exists anymore. Like, if you're going to play like Affinity, you're just going to play Grixis.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see any reason why you would, currently as things stand, I don't know why you'd want to play anything different.
Yeah, I agree. Blue Eye was kind of,
because you don't really have a payoff now for playing white, really.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree. In the article, Gavin also mentioned Prophetic Prism and talking about unbanning it, but they just want to like slow the brakes on that because we have a big influx of cards coming in the form of Modern Horizons 3. Which we're going to do a set review once the full set's spoiled officially, not on somebody's Nokia.
Looks like a potato, are you kidding me?
Yeah, true. The potato with the camera. But Gavin did say something in the article that he just wanted to be transparent and said there is a common in MH3 that is similar to something that's been banned already. And so that might not have a long life expectancy in our format Popper, So like he was.
Ooh.
I know.
I did speculate on what it would be, but I will leave that for another time.
Yeah. But so that's exciting. We don't know the card, of course. Only
no, just pure speculation.
Yeah.
Boy, has there been speculation already.
Yeah, that's true. So no, that's like a bold. It's nice that they said that. Like mm-hmm. that's a bold statement. Like, hey, there might be a common in this set that might only be legal for like a week or two. It's like right. whoa. So it's like I yeah, feel yeah. like we're gonna know once we see it.
Yeah, whatever card it is, we'll win. Like we'll top eight. We'll have like basically eight copies in the top eight of whatever the challenge is that weekend. And then it'll just be gone.
Because, like, the last thing that was, like, that impactful was, like, the initiative.
No, I think that, some... Like, I think the card that got banned the quickest after its set release was Chatterstorm.
Yeah, well, yes. the initiative took a minute just because...
yeah, people didn't figure out that
yeah.
you could just power them out and they were insane.
Well, because a lot of those cards weren't on Magic Online.
Well, like, that's
part
the big
of it.
Thing,
yeah,
too.
That was a big part of it.
Woo! Well. Any closing thoughts from Thomas Hippo? Cameron?
Excited to see where things land after this.
Same.
Also same. Just a shout out to the PFP, because they just, we say it every time there's been an announcement, we have like this nice long article explaining why they did this, and you just know they care about the format, and I'm sure the people making ban decisions for Pioneer, Modern, and Legacy also care about the format. They don't give us these sick articles and videos.
Not
which
really.
We'll link into this episode's description on. A question for you, mm-hmm. three. What decks do you think, I don't know, I included me, what decks do you think are going to come out of this on top?
On top?
On top.
I think so. Now people can start to play a little bit slower and play and tap out more.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to find something that also is not just going to die to these new mono red decks, like these Kadoltha decks. So striking a balance between that is probably something in there. I'm looking at probably something like Jeskai Ephemerate, if I had to take a guess, is probably a deck that I'm going to look at, or even bigger decks like Gardens, I think will do like be a favorable outcome of this. I think something like Tron might be a favorable outcome of this. I think Ponza might even be like a favorable outcome of this, honestly. Mm.
I think Gardens is not going to be favorable, because I think all these like Poison Storm and Linear combo decks are gonna like come out and play and feast upon Gardens, but maybe there's gonna be a recession like what you said with like the mono red decks pushing back at it. So that made me think like Cogates, because it can deal with the aggressiveness and also have the counter
spell
backup.
That's actually probably what the default best deck becomes like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the king of mid range decks, like right, like it's just got all the answers for everything. Like you get to play all the white sideboard cards, you have counter magic for whatever, you know, unruly thing happens to occur, and you have the gate in-game package. So yeah, that seems like a complete, I think that's probably, now that you mentioned, it's probably the actual default best deck.
You got any thoughts?
Kind of a similar spot where James is at. I think Kuldotha Red will continue to be like somewhat dominant as things start to transition away from glitters, and then people, because like you said, people don't need to try and fight two different kinds of aggression, like the go wide on the Kuldotha side versus the go tall on the glitter side. Now they can kind of just like let Synth do its bounce all its permanence thing, and just we can deal with a value deck.
Then Fiery Cannon
after
they're done.
Yeah, yeah. But then we can just like, yeah, we can just board wipe, weather the storm, whatever. That's going to kind of be more of your like catch all, stop the red decks. And then you can focus your like regular attention on like everything else, kind of all in this one little, I don't know, all this pile of value decks. So yeah, I agree with James. I think the bigger decks will come out on top. It's a good point about Cogates. But I think it'll be a little bit until Mono Red is totally dethroned, because I think it's just this very lean, clean machine that is just like continuing to just kind of mow through stuff.
And that's where Cameron's point of Gates being good, because they get to play Prismatic Strands. Mm-hmm. Like that being a huge boon for them is very, very good.
Agreed.
What is kind of like a downside of this ban too is like there's what's the other aggressive deck in the format now? Besides mono red,
Kadoltha is like the de facto.
It's like besides Kadoltha, it's just
there's
Boggles Kadoltha now.
I mean, there's like the mono white deck, but it's not.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like I don't think it's got the legs for it. I just don't. As much as I wish it were, it doesn't have the reach that the red deck has in the, like, you know, backup with, like, burn spells and stuff like lightning bolts and chain lightnings or whatever.
It just feels like the red deck's a much better choice.
Unless you're playing the aggressive deck to beat the other aggressive deck, then that might be the case. Because your aggressive deck, say on, like, the mono white side, like, you get the access to, like, the prismatic strands and stuff, and your creatures are bigger. Mm-hmm. As if you were playing, like, the heads-up aggro plan, then I think that works, but I don't think it works in an open field necessarily as well.
I get what you're saying. Shall we move it to you two, yeah. Thomas and Hippo? You guys played some Popper this last weekend. I was in South Dakota for a friend's wedding after my flight got canceled. Still made it. We're good. Very frustrating, but no, y'all played Popper. I said, don't tell me anything. I want to hear it live on the pod. All I know is what y'all played.
Okay.
I found out today Hippo played Glitters after he unsleeved his Glitters and ripped them in half in front of
I did.
But Thomas, I'll let you. What did you play, Thomas?
To no one's surprise, I played my burn deck, my Demand Answers burn deck. Felt pretty good about it. I ended up playing one Searing Blaze in the main as just like my hedge spell, and three Breath Weapons in the board for the Kuldotha matchup. I guess I'll start just going through my tournament real quick. It's a bit of a quicker recap than James.
No, that's not a good sign. No.
So round one, I get paired up against our friend Blake. Blake brought Red Black Madness burn, which is it's fun when you're racing when their burn spells gain them life back.
Yeah.
So I was able to turbo out a very quick win in game one. But he was mostly because he was stuck on two or three lands. But then games two and three, he was able to just do the thing his deck wants to do. And over time, that deck will beat the burn deck unless the burn deck has just some crazy sick draw. And because I have so much, just like, I have so many cards that are trying to be like card advantage engines instead of just burn, I can kind of lose that race. So I lost the first round. Second round, I get paired up against, a player I had not met before. Their name is Austin. Not our Austin, different Austin. And they were on Kuldotha Red. So I'm just 0-2 in the good matchups. They beat me in two games. Didn't see Breath Weapon, or at least I set myself up to draw into Breath Weapon towards the last couple turns of game two, but I was simultaneously like a land short and I had to like sack a mountain to like double lava dart something to not die in a spot. And it was rough. It was a little rough. So I started 0-2. We only had 17 players. So there was still like a slim chance that like I could get in from 0-2, but I knew if that was going to happen, I needed to get the bye, which I did in round three. Woo! So I got the bye.
This is where the rallying starts.
Those good tie breaks. And then I get paired in round four against friend of the show, Jay. Jay is also on Red Black Madness Burn, playing some sweet tech, the Raven of Fell Omens from Outlaws of Thunder Junction. I believe we only played two games. The second game was especially close. It was very, very close. Like we both got each other
down to like 1 point.
Yeah,
right?
Like 1 or 2 points left in our life totals on like either side, and it was super, super close down the stretch. But he played a great game, and he beat me 2-0, and then he went on to win round five to be one of the 3-2s who got in.
Let's go, Jay.
So good for Jay. And so I was 1-3 at that point. I dropped from the tournament and just played some Jeskai Tubert with friend Carson.
And
James.
Wait,
and
no, it's spoiled. James didn't make top 8 either.
Oh, I made top 8.
Oh, okay. So
I was waiting. I got to draw with my last round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my tournament. It was fun. The day was great. More so because of the gathering than the magic.
Of course.
But that's okay. That's just gonna kind of. I feel like that's gonna happen with the burn deck sometimes. Sometimes you're running hot and you get like some good to mid matchups and you just play really well. I also think there were some mulligan decisions I probably missed on. I think that's something I need to focus up on right now in my magic playing is I think I need to focus up on tighter mulligan decisions right now.
Being thoughtful with it.
Yeah, just like being really, really disciplined of just like
thinking long term in that game.
Exactly.
Kind
of
thing.
Yeah,
there, I have a good podcast episode to recommend you for that.
Sick. That was my tournament. Deck is still awesome. It's super fun to play. I don't think I mean, things might look a little different now with Glitters being banned, but I never thought that Glitters was a problem matchup. So, so we'll see if there was at least one other Kuldotha red deck in the room that did make top eight. My second round opponent did not make top eight. But another Kuldotha red player made top eight. So like there was a more of a red showing in the room than usual for our locals. So
there was a lot of red decks in the room.
Yes. So yeah, so I got a little bit of the short end of the stick. I didn't make super disciplined plays in spots and that was that. That was my popper. But that's okay. James, how was your popper?
Well, as I'd already said, I did top eight our locals. Round one, I played against Kuldotha Red. I 2-0'd this individual.
You're on Boros Glitters, right?
Yeah, I played Boros Glitters.
That was my round two opponent, I believe.
Yes, I believe so. So I played Boros Glitters. I played a couple of my flex slots. I played, like, actually, funny enough, hedged for red a little bit by playing more than one copy of, or actually playing a total of three copies of my 75 of Dawnbringer Cleric. That was a good choice for one Glitters, in case there were opposing Glitters in the room, and it's a fine card against red. But yeah, I played against Kuldotha round one, beat it 2-0. I played against Blake in round two on the red-black Madness deck.
We just swapped opponents.
Yeah, and then I got my teeth kicked in. I made an incorrect line in game two, and it cost me the game, so we could have gone to a game three, but I did not.
What was that
take
line?
The line. I got very tunnel visioned on where a Glitters is supposed to be put. Mm-hmm. I had turned two to Glitter, or I had a really cool start. I had like Ancient Den, Thraben Inspector, make a clue, turn two, Ancient Den, Glitters up the Inspector. So this thing's already like out of any burn range. So it's like not gonna die. And then I like got very tunnel visioned and had a second Glitters when in theory or in reality I should have just I had a Glint Hawk, and I played a Glint Hawk and bounced back one of these Ancient Dens and replayed an Ancient Den for turn. You know, the little trick that I taught you however long ago. And then I slammed that Glitters on the Thraben Inspector, and I'm like, well, that was dumb. Why'd I do that? Like, literally, as soon as I put it on there, I was like, well, that was really bad. That was so bad. And then I, like, he was able to just jump for, like, the entirety of the game.
Ah.
So I would have had him dead in, like, two turns, but...
Oof.
Yeah. So it is what it is. And then round three, I also played against Jay on Red Black Madness.
Was it just like you five there?
No, I swear there were other people.
I played against Jay.
Well, I know you won because he plays Javen X round.
I did win. I don't remember if I won 2-0 or 2-1, but I did win. I think I won 2-1. I think he got me one game. And then I played against... That's a great question. What did I play against? I feel like it was something I just, like, steamrolled.
This is before you draw.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Do you remember who it was?
I'm trying blanking so hard.
Was it Devin?
Oh, yeah. I played against our buddy Devin. He was playing Walls combo in round four, and I absolutely thrashed him. It was not close. He's playing eight lands in his Walls deck because he's an insane individual. God. With two lanes in the sideboard for his sideboard plan.
What a monster.
Yeah, Devin's a wild one.
Eight lands?
Yeah, he was playing eight land wall combo.
Like land grant and
I don't know if he was playing land grant or not.
Oh boy.
I was just like, he was just raw dogging eight lands, I think.
raw dogging eight lands,
I'm pretty sure.
That's not enough lands.
He only needed one game one. I mean, he like basically functioned the entire game off of one singular land.
That's
all he needed.
Wild.
I mean, yeah, it was crazy, but he ended up not doing anything. He, like, got an Alec, what is that, the grizzly that you're able to, like, pay for mana and look at, like, the top card if it's a creature you put in your hand or whatever. He looked, I'm pretty sure he saw minimum 2 to 3 copies of either Winding Way or Lead Stampede and therefore couldn't draw them, so which he would have needed to, like, even get in that game at all, so he didn't get to play them. And then game two, he, like, just didn't really do anything, and he died. And he, like, played the game, but, he played a couple walls, and it just, like, didn't matter, he died. Then I was able to, I got paired against what would have been Ponza against our buddy Matthew. And we drew, because we were both live for top eight with a draw. And then we into top eight.
Man, what a bad room for Gardens.
Yeah, it would have been really heinous. glad I didn't play it. But in top eight, there was an interesting price structure for the day that I don't think was thought out necessarily in the best way.
That's right.
So to eliminate any feel bads, we all split top eight for 9 packs apiece because the way it was structured was a full box to first, a half a box to second, a quarter box to third and fourth, and then one singular pack for 5 through 8. And I was like, I'm not going to do that to one, my friend that I'm sitting across from in top eight. That if I had not known, one had not known that that was the case, or if I had known that was the case beforehand and I, and my buddy wasn't sitting across from me, I would have snapped off a play for the top eight.
Yeah.
But that was the prize structure, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be the one to make that be a thing.
Yeah, that's a big feels bad.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to just, yeah, make one per, you know, make 4 people get 1 pack a piece.
I wonder if that's just because they usually do 8.
It's like 6 pack. Usually it's like 6 packs
for 8
for
players.
Yeah, a box. Yeah. And
it was a box for every 8 players, but the way it was structured was like more like an RCQ that we would have run.
Yeah. I think it's just because we had 17, so it was just one
that
above.
That was part of it, but the fact that we had the way it was, normally it's not that way. Normally it's like
a little less,
like
third and fourth.
less top heavy, and it's more evenly distributed.
Right.
Yeah. It's like 18 packs to first or 12 packs to second or something like that.
It's usually a box and a half to first.
It depends on how many people.
That's true.
So they were very, you know, they just followed the spreadsheet and were just tunnel visioned on it's a win a box event. And so it just like first place a box and then spread it out from there. And then it just ended up being a lower spread to the bottom.
So, yeah, I didn't want to be the one to ruin everyone's day.
So y'all
and
did
I just
split.
We all split top eight with 9 packs a piece.
Do you have Mark's post pulled up for what top eight was? Cool.
I do.
Hit me up with that. I'm curious.
All right. This is our top eight. I'll just go down the line. This is standings after Swiss in first place. Paul Holt on Kuldatha Red. In second place, Derek Smith on Miracle Burn. This was a pretty sick list that they showed James and I at the start of the tournament, playing 4 copies of both pingers, the Keswick Flame Breather and the Thermal Alchemist, and playing Thunderous Wrath, which is the 6 mana instant deal 5. But if you draw it for the first card you draw for turn, you can miracle it for a single mana.
Is that that one that like plays the card that puts it back on top?
No.
So it's just straight
it's just,
up.
Just to quote brain. James, just raw dogging the
raw dogging
miracle
card.
Spells.
Dude, yeah, that's awesome.
Fire blasts, thunderous wrats. Yeah,
that's sick.
I do want to give Derek a quick shout out. He is probably the person who actually put Popper on the map for Nashville many, many years ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was super involved and wanted to make it a thing. So shout out to Derek.
Paving the way for us new Jenners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Derek was super chill. On third place, our boy Thomas Bitter. Storm.
Oh, he did it. Good job, Bitter.
That would have been my top eight opponent.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would have wrecked him.
Fourth place, Scott Kennedy playing Green Tron.
Nice. He was playing Monster Tron.
Yeah, with some monsters like the assembly workers, the 5 mana 4/4s that search out another one and stuff like that. It was pretty sick. He's just stomping all over people. We played a quick test game beforehand, and he cast Sylvan Scrying, and I was like, Scott, I don't think that's a legal card in this format. He's like, what? And this, sadly, was also, like, the last time we were there for Popper.
he
went Mountain Monastery Swift Spear, and we were all like, oh, Scott, I'm so sorry, but that's banned now. So he was a little frustrated at the start of the day, but his deck,
so
but he had some extra cards. He was able to piece a little package together, and the deck performed well for him.
Scott, it's commons only with a small ban list.
Well, it was a promo version of Sylvan's Crime. Oh, okay. Like, you know, like that's a fine assumption to make. That's fine. Scott is a brewer.
To be fair, the rest of the ways to get lands out of that deck are all commons.
Yeah, like Expedition.
Seems reasonable
that
would be one.
Yeah, yeah. But Scott's an excellent brewer, and glad to see him making top eight here. In fifth place, our friend Matthew Centillis on Gruul Panza. In sixth place, our own James Hieronymus on Jeskai. No, not Jeskai. Boros. It says Jeskai question mark. Boros glitters in seventh place. Also a friend of the show, Hunter Bish, playing one land spy again.
He's just out there being a madman still.
Yeah, it's true. And Jay snuck into eighth place on Rakdos Madness. A solid tournament. Other standouts, there was a Boggles deck. There was a Cogates deck, a second Kuldotha Red.
That was a pretty diverse meta.
A Sprout Swarm deck, which I didn't get to see.
I did not see this.
Our buddy Carson was on Blue-Black Terror. It was a very diverse meta game for a little tournament. It was a lot of fun. Scion was on Jeskai Glitters.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I got to see Scion do some disgusting things. It was pretty mm-hmm. great. It was his last hurrah with the old Glitters deck.
That's true.
Yes, it was.
But yeah, that was our Pauper tournament.
Y'all had fun?
Yeah,
I had a good time.
Did you play your deck again?
I can play Borosynth again if I'd like. I cannot play with the card all the Glitters.
Yeah, Synth is still going to be very much so a thing.
Yeah, it might be. I think there's a shot that it gets, it's not quite big enough. Like, it might be just a little too small ball for some of the other bigger decks that might come up in the format. But we'll see. It's entirely possible that it is just a reasonable deck to play. I agree.
I bet it'll be fine. I bet it'll be A-okay. Shall we move it on to some challenges?
Let's do it. So let's go. Can I grab, I'm going to grab some water.
I would also grab a drink. Shall we move it to
some challenges?
The Pauper challenges.
The challenge.
There's a rumor there's only three this weekend.
It's not just a rumor. It's a confirmed fact.
It's a blasphemous rumor.
The smaller of the two Sunday challenges did not fire. Could have been any number of reasons. I'd like to think it was a lot of people hanging out with their mothers.
I know so. I did. I did too.
I called mine. Good. I'm going to hang out with my fam a whole bunch next month. So.
Good, good, good. Yeah,
they're gonna get sick of me. They're not. They love what I'm
doing. Is that possible?
To get sick of me?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We'll table that one.
Yeah.
All right.
Table.
We will. We're not. We'll table it for later. No. That was very kind of you. So Friday, May 10th. This is the challenge 32. We got 42 players in eighth place. Guy Bird on Mono Red Kuldotha. In seventh place, New Barola on Cogates. In sixth place, Hamuda on Goblin Combo, aka Mogwarts. In fifth place, Las Vegas Chaos on Blue White Glitters Affinity. I would also mention at this point, MTG Dex has already added a little red sticker that says indeed. Contains banned cards,
yeah. Yep.
Which is very funny. In fourth place, Tyrube 1618 on their old regular deck, Cycline Storm. In third place, Boom Bust on Mono Red Kuldotha. In second place, Oskia, also on Mono Red Kuldotha. And in first place, with a 7-2 record, Zio Francone on what I believe is Golgari Gardens.
It's Gardens. Yep.
Looks like we're back up to the usual. Well, actually, no, not quite the usual 3-3-3-3 creature suite. Three hunters, three trolls, but two crypt rats and two Thorn of the Black Rose. And one Drowning Star in the main. And a fungal infection.
So I was sent a list from one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
That included a really interesting way of going about playing this deck. Are you familiar with the card Culling the Week? Culling the Week.
Culling?
It's the ritual.
The Week.
It's the quad black ritual.
I am not familiar. What does this card do?
It is a card in the one land spy deck, but once you take a look at it, the list basically included ways to power out like Thorn of the Black Rose is basically the idea here.
Kind of like what Fairies was doing.
Kind of like Fairies was doing with like Dark Ritual and stuff, but this is doing it with sacking dinky things. Like, I think it sacks, just sack creatures, correct?
Yeah, it says, yeah, so it's a black mana. I believe it's been errated to an instant. It's printed as mana source for the time. It's from Exodus. So it's a black mana instant. Sacrifice a creature, add black, 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 black to your mana pool. So it's like a super dark ritual for sacrificing a creature.
But yeah, the kind of the idea was to just turbo out some of these like thorns and stuff. It was pretty sweet.
Sack your garden token.
Yeah.
You could turn to Avenging Hunter.
Yeah, you could turn to Avenging Hunter.
That's hot.
Isn't that pretty sweet? Yeah.
That is kind of hot.
Very high variance. That's not a card you want to be top decking of gardens too often.
No, but I think you could also build the deck in a way that does take advantage of that being a like center of your deck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
gardens just draw so much, like they have so much card volume. Yeah. Like as the game goes on, I think you don't mind if you've got like two of these and like you could spike an early something against the decks where it really matters, and then if you like draw it late when it's useless, you have probably like 5 to 7 other cards access to.
It's also your deck has a blood token creator, you can also discard it.
Yes, that's correct. Three mono red decks in top 8 here. Very, very strong showing. I don't think there's much else to say on these decks. They're, you know, it's whether they play a Seal of Fire or one less of one of the creatures or some niche sideboard choices. But
it's
this,
just
is,
a good
this is
sign
this
of
is
what's
red.
To come.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Not on this one, not really. I just think that the three mono red decks in the top 8 is, like I said, just going to be, we might be seeing more of that coming up.
All right. Saturday, May 11th. This is a 32 challenge with 47 players. In 8th place, it's this name again, Proboscs on Blue Black Fairies. 7th place, Hamuda, back-to-back top 8s on Mogwarts. In 6th place, Paulo Cabral BR on Walls Combo. In 5th place, Carrot Eater, switching it up on Blue Black Fairies. In 4th place, Walker 735 on Familiars. In 3rd place, Niederschatten on Blue Black Fairies. Looks like their loss in the semifinals was their only loss in the tournament. So a strong tournament for them. In 2nd place, Jessica by Alexis F on Boros Synthesizer Glitters. And in 1st place, with an 8-1 record, Giorgio Combo on Jund Dredge. Let's see how similar this is to the Jund list we saw last week. Looks like they're playing two copies of a card that was not in that list called Circle of the Land Druid.
Mm-hmm.
This is from, I think it's from Baldur's Gate.
It is from the Baldur's Gate.
So it's 1 and a green for a 1/1 gnome druid, which is a great creature type. When Circle of the Land Druid enters the battlefield, you may mill 4 cards. And then it has the little like D&D flavor text, natural recovery. When Circle of the Land Druid dies, return target land card from your graveyard to your hand. Okay, so it's like Seder Wayfinder's copies 5 and 6, except that it's when it dies that you get the land back. But you get to choose any land from your graveyard, not just a land from the 4 milled cards like Seder Wayfinder.
Okay.
So that's kind
of
cool.
Just another, like you said, just another copy of that.
Yeah.
QQ.
Because yeah. I think the Wayfinder effects are really important to just like try and fill up the grave as much as possible. Like these decks are also playing like Blanchwood Prowler and stuff like that. So
it's also on one of Exhume.
Yeah. Oh, this is like the Acorn Harvest version.
Yeah.
With like Knot of the Bone. Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously it makes sense to play the Dread Returns, but not on as many Exhumes as that list. The other ones are in the sideboard.
You just want a 5th copy.
Yeah, it looks
in your main.
There's a couple more in the sideboard.
Yeah.
And a full set of snuff outs in the board, too.
Wonder how this deck does against mono red, if you can just get some early blockers out like Seder Wayfinder or Ruble Belt Maverick.
I think just like Knot of the Bone is just an absolute hose. Yeah, as long as you can, like, you do have to play around their relics out of the board to some extent, but I mean you're prepared to do that against everyone if you play this deck.
Also, at some point your creatures are just bigger than theirs. If you just like play like Rubble Belt, you know, Maverick into like Seder Wayfinder or Blanchwood Prowler, then you like can start to get to the point where you have stabilized your life total enough where you can start casting some of your, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 drops.
Exactly. Just like Dread Return a generous end. How do you get through that?
And then you're like, oh, here's a 5/7, and it gained 3
life.
and eats every creature.
Oh, would you like to block it and then like bolt it to kill it so you don't have to worry about it again? I'll dread return it again.
These decks are so sick. I was thinking about this earlier today. I was like listening through a couple little clips from last week while I was working. And I was like, man, playing like a dredge deck sounds like super fun.
This one has an interesting sideboard too. It's not just all the flashback cards. It's playing four snuff outs in the sideboard.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe now that's probably not as relevant with...
No, you don't need... You, this was a deck where you could tap out and with because you had snuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And you were also doing like this like good well, you, busted thing.
You wanted snuff out four of the glitters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like at the time you wanted to be able to tap out and do your... enact your game plan while being able to hold up interaction.
To exhume the sideboard is interesting too, just because you think that's...
For other decks that like they're not getting anything into the graveyard. I mean, yeah. It seems like completely reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, you always expect your opponents to bring in relics and stuff.
Yeah. You also have your own answers for their cards, but I'm saying like this is where you're not going to have, like, they're not going to have any graveyard pieces. So, for say, that's like a deck like Jeskai Ephemerate, like, where they're not like actively trying to put creatures in the graveyard, but they also don't really have their own pieces of graveyard hate because they can't really afford to sack like a relic. Like fully crack a relic because then it really hurts their own game plan. So they don't really have as many graveyard hate pieces. So I think this is like something kind of in that vein where you just want like as many copies of a reanimate effect that you can get
versus like Cycle Storm or something.
Yeah, also
play relics, I guess. Yeah, QQ.
But yeah, this is a super sweet one.
Yeah. Plus they're like all in on Knot of the Bone too. So they're not. They want to dread return specific things and maybe not necessarily super turbo out the exam. The list from last weekend's top eight dredge list was on the full four exhum and was like very much trying to like turbo out trolls and stuff like
no,
that.
Their graveyard hate is copies of Coffin Purge,
which is so sick.
Which for those who don't know what Coffin Purge is a single black instant from looks like Odyssey.
I think
that's Odyssey. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's Odyssey. And it is single black, instant, remove target card in a graveyard from the game, and it has flashback of single black. So yeah, they had two copies of those. There's a graveyard tape.
The Walls deck, playing more than five lands.
Oh, they're more playing, than eight, yeah.
Or more than eight, yeah.
Good, they have...
They're playing 12. I thought it was funny, they're playing the Gingerbread Cabin, though, with 12 lands, which is like that common cycle from Throne,
mm-hmm.
where you need three other forest for it to come in untapped, which just... I don't see that happening too often in this deck.
I mean, it has 10 forests. It has 11 forests if you count the Radiant Grove.
It's 12 lands, though, you know? It's just...
Yeah. You're also able to pick the Gingerbread Cabin up with your...
Quirion Ranger.
Quirion Ranger, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can pick it up. Because it is a forest.
It is a forest. Cool. Yeah, you can pick it up. This so is a sweet one.
Make a bunch of... You can make a food a turn if you want to.
That's probably fine.
Yeah. No, it's not bad.
It just buys you time.
Time is all we have, Hippo.
It's true. Any other notes on the Saturday top eight?
No notes.
Nope, not really.
Alrighty. Let's move it on to our final challenge for this past weekend. This is the Sunday 64 challenge on May 12th. We got 68 players. Everyone's coming out to play. In 8th place, Poker's Wizard on Poison Storm. In 7th place, Grindera on Mono Red Kuldatha. In 6th place, Mr. Twin, also on Mono Red Kuldatha. In 5th place, O Danielakos on Demir Terror. In 4th place, Alskek on Golgari Gardens. In 3rd place, Carrot Eater with back-to-back top 4s on Blue-Black Fairies. In 2nd place, GN42, back in the final slot with Familiars. And in 1st place, with a 9-1 record on the day, Baiko Dejea on Blue Black Fairies.
I believe the finals was split.
You believe they split the finals?
I believe they split the finals.
Okay, sick.
Let me give it a little check.
Cool. List not doing the Dark Ritual shenanigans. I checked that out. Mm-hmm. Just kind of what you expect from Fairies now. I do like that they do have the one Murmuring Mystic in the main board.
Yeah, just, with a second on the side.
No second on the side, just one main.
They have a second one on the side.
Second one on the side, but also one main. I just glanced over. Sorry, there's a lot of one ofs in that sideboard. So
there are a lot of one ofs.
That's funny. Yeah, there's four Hydroblasts, yep. Two relics, and the rest are one ofs.
The rest are one ofs. I like the 1-1 split between the main and the board of the Arms of Hadar. We've mentioned it before. It's 3 and a black sorcery from Baldur's Gate. Creature's target player controls gets -2/-2 until end of turn. It's just mine, like, 2 toughness is like the break point for mono red, and being able to leave your board intact while wiping their board is huge. So that's why you see it here as opposed to something like Drown in Sorrow.
4 could be a little late against mono red, just like, right, that's steep, but it's like in fairies, it's like hopefully like your spells or sprites countered a kicked bushwhacker or something, mm-hmm, you know.
Maybe your Augur Bolas like blocked for a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
hopefully
yeah,
you bought some time somewhere where this is relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, blue black fairies, always a strong choice. Another one.
It was not a split. It was a fought, no, was a fought match in the finals.
All right, cool.
Ooh, okay. There you go.
I'm going to take a look at Carrot Eater's list here, see if there's any major differences. 3 Brainstorm, interesting.
Good,
but
magic
looks
card.
It's a pretty good match, as opposed to 4 is more what I'm saying.
Oh.
yeah, some of these numbers are interesting, I will say that.
Yeah. But you can't really argue too much. The numbers are pretty similar. I think the creature suite in the main is exactly the same.
Well, the first place list is only playing 2 Brainstorms.
Oh, well, then never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Which is kind of, I couldn't tell you why.
Brainstorm is not the technology.
I hope in MH3 we get 1 blue, 1/1 flying fairy, ETB at Brainstorms.
Ooh.
With
Flash?
Yeah, sure.
No. I'll just go with the simple, like, Bugs Bunny, no.
That'd be so new, cool, though. You never know. That was the leaked card.
That was not the leaked card.
That was the card Gavin was talking about, I'm sure. I'm calling it now. Any other thoughts on these challenges overall? It's kind of weird because it's like we're talking about these challenges, but it is a banned challenge weekend.
Yeah, just kind of an old format.
I think there were 2 decks or 2 or 3 decks across the...
I think
4.
Only 2.
Yeah, I think it was 2 decks across 4 challenges.
3 challenges.
Yeah. 3 challenges in top 8.
So it's
like,
that's... Yeah. It was kind of trending down. People kind of get mm-hmm. used to dealing with it in the meta. But now I am a little worried to see what... Hopefully Mono Red doesn't take over too hard. I bet we'll see.
I don't... I don't think it will. I think there's a lot of good play against it. This also might be a good time for Terror to, or like Blue Black Terror to become a deck again, or to be like a more popular deck again. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good time for that.
Yeah. It's already putting up good numbers.
Yeah, like it already is a deck that is good, and I think it just gets a little bit better here. Again, it's also like, say, having that like the fangs is pretty powerful.
Yeah. And not having to like really lean on Snuff Out as hard potentially. I mean, Snuff Out's still a very good card, and I think that you will play some number of them, but you don't have to be like, I need this to kill the creature they put glitters on or whatever.
Correct. And I think existing things like fairies will continue to be good. And then decks that have kind of taken a wane a little bit, I think the one Cameron mentioned earlier was Gates will be a nice resurgent, I believe.
Oh, for sure.
Yep. I think that's about it.
All righty. Sorry. But if you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, comments, concerns for us, you can DM us, any of us, or add us on Twitter. Those will be in the bio. You could also send us a good old-fashioned email to commongroundmtgpod@gmail.com.
There is no ad at the beginning of that.
There is no, but that, you know what I mean? People do. People say that. Leave us a review. 5 stars on Spotify. Write us some words on Apple Podcasts. And James Hieronymus will read your words aloud live on the pod. Thank you so much. Peace out.
Later, everyone.
So long. Until next week.
Oh, my
God. Depends on where you're rolling around in the dirt.
And all the glass where you chuck glass.
Oh, that's exactly where I was. I was thinking.
We didn't go to the ice house. We did play beer darts though. It was fun.
True, you didn't get stabbed with a beer dart.
No, that would be a bigger. I sling darts, dude, and I hit her crock
and
this bounced off the crock.
And this is why you want us to play beer
it's
darts
really
with
fun.
You.
Nobody got.
I'm
hit
not
last
trying
time.
To get
nope.
stabbed in the foot with
Same.
A dart.
Wear shoes.
It's still
no.
a lawn dart.
No, it's just a dart.
You just play with like a
cool
dart.
Still not
steel toes incoming.
Yeah. Okay, it's fine. It only hurts at the beginning because you're not drunk yet.
And it only hurts when it goes in, and then it's fine.
Nobody got hit. Let me see.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get stabbed in the foot with a dart.